Welcome back to the deep dive. So if you're listening to this, chances are you might have, recently joined the ranks of America's land stewards.
A huge accomplishment.
It really is.
Yeah.
Maybe you bought a forested tract, a few acres of prairie, or just a quiet piece of recreational land. And first things first, congratulations.
Absolutely.
Owning your own piece of vacant land in America is a massive step, and that pride of ownership is just, it's unmatched.
It truly is. It's a major step toward building wealth. Leaving a legacy, but, and there's always a but. Once you've secured that land, you immediately jump from celebrating a purchase to mastering risk management. Land ownership, especially of these unimproved tracts, it opens you up to a whole new world of liability that, I mean, most people just don't anticipate.
Exactly. We know you want to protect your investment, but the first priority has to be protecting yourself.
Right.
And that's why we're doing a deep dive into vacant land insurance, or VLI. Because while that tract may look beautiful and untouched, you just have no idea what accidents might come up.
Anything.
Yeah.
From trespassers taking a spill down an old embankment to a fallen tree damaging your neighbor's new fence line.
And what's so crucial for new owners to understand is that your standard homeowner's policy probably isn't the safety net you think it is.
Not at all. The liability profiles are completely different. A home is supervised, a vacant tract, well, it often is not.
So the core mission today is to figure out if you can rely on your existing insurance or if you need the specific, specialized coverage of a VLI policy.
That's our blueprint. We're going to unpack exactly what vacant land coverage is, where the best expertise lies, and, crucially, just how minimal the cost is compared to the nightmare of an uninsured liability claim.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. If someone is new to this, they might assume VLI is, property insurance.
Yeah.
That it protects the land itself from a storm or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really the case, is it?
That's a super common misconception. VLI is fundamentally a general liability policy. It's there to protect the landowner from financial loss when they're facing a lawsuit. The land itself is, it's usually just dirt and trees. What we are insuring is the risk that comes from owning that dirt and those trees.
Okay, so let's get specific then. What are the two main types of claims that VLI is designed to protect against?
It protects the landowner if someone tries to sue them for one of two things. First, bodily injury. So if someone gets hurt on your tract.
Like a hiker tripping over some hidden debris.
Exactly, or a trespasser falls into an unmarked pit. And second, property damage. This usually means if something from your land, like water runoff or maybe fire damage, crosses your boundary and harms the neighboring property.
That sounds simple enough, but here's where these policies get extremely difficult and technical.
Mm.
And it all revolves around one single word, structure.
Yes, this is the sticking point. This is what can render a policy totally useless. Vacant land policies are designed for unimproved tracts. So if the landowner adds any structure to the land, depending on the agency, that policy may instantly become void or, entirely useless.
Wait, hold on. If the definition of structure is that sensitive, we need to know what they mean.
Mm.
I'm picturing like a whole house, but the source material suggests they're much, much pickier than that.
Oh, they're far pickier. And the definition of a structure varies wildly among agencies, which is a huge risk factor in itself.
So what are we talking about here?
We're talking about things that might seem harmless. A high fence that a kid could climb and fall from, or a boat dock if you have waterfront property. We even see things like water storage tanks, specialized gates, or solar energy structures potentially avoiding a standard VLI policy.
Wow.
The moment you introduce a man-made fixture, you introduce a new point of liability, and the general insurer gets very nervous.
That's fascinating because it really forces the landowner to choose their insurance based on their intentions for the land, right?
It does.
If you plan to just leave it truly wild and unimproved, then the strict basic VLI works. But what if you actually want to use it for recreation?
And that's where the specialized exception comes in. This is where you have to be so careful when you're shopping for a policy.
Okay.
We see some organizations, particularly those focused on recreation and hunting, offering specialized VLI that deliberately contradicts that standard, very strict definition of structure.
And this is where it gets really interesting, especially the example from the American Hunting Lease Association.
Yeah.
They acknowledge that while, many standard insurance companies exclude coverage for those structures,
mm-hmm.
the specialized insurers often do not, as long as they are, quote, seldom used or abandoned.
Precisely. And for a recreational landowner, this is invaluable. They might specifically include liability protection for old barns, rickety hunting cabins, or sheds that were already on the property when you bought it.
So if you have any kind of existing, maybe aging infrastructure that you use, even just occasionally, you have to look at that specialized route.
You must, because a standard VLI policy might leave you completely exposed if someone gets injured near that old shed.
So we already have two distinct risk profiles emerging. You got the landowner with a purely investment tract who needs the strict, cheap VLI.
Right.
And then the landowner with an active recreational tract who really must opt for specialized coverage that knows how to handle the liability that comes with that old inherited infrastructure.
Okay, now that we've kind of defined the VLI landscape, let's tackle listeners' first instinct, which is probably, why can't I just call my State Farm or Allstate agent and add it to my existing home policy?
A big question.
Yeah, does my homeowner's insurance cover vacant land?
The short answer is maybe, but only under very specific, very narrow conditions. The fundamental rule is proximity and related use.
So if the land is right next to my house.
Yes. If your vacant land is adjacent to your primary residence, a few extra acres surrounding your main house, it may often be covered under an extension of your existing homeowner's liability. And what if it's not adjacent? What if I live in the city and bought a hunting tract, say, 100 miles away?
Then the chances drop dramatically. Homeowners' policies are designed for the residential premises and, you know, immediately related property. For a truly separate tract, you almost always need a separate policy.
But if it is close by, you should still ask your agent, right?
Oh, you should absolutely ask your current agent about extending coverage. But you need to be aware of the inherent risk in taking that default option.
What is that risk? I mean, if my current agent can offer an extension, isn't that just easier and cheaper than finding a whole new company?
It might seem easier, yeah. But the risk lies in a lack of expertise. Most traditional homeowners agents are experts in residential risk. Fire, theft, burst pipes, slip and falls on driveways. They often just don't have the experience or the actuarial background to advise on what the sources call outdoor recreation type coverages.
That makes perfect sense. The risk of a collapsing roof is just fundamentally different from the risk of an unattended all-terrain vehicle accident.
Yeah,
exactly. When you purchase land for outdoor use, you open yourself up to liability scenarios that a standard agent just doesn't deal with on a daily basis. For example, specific clauses regarding trespassers who get injured.
Right, because the laws often differ based on whether you invited them or not.
They do. And traditional agents may not be equipped to advise on things like state-specific recreational user statutes.
Can you give us a few more concrete examples of those specific risks that a specialized VLI provider is built to handle, but a general HO extension might miss?
Sure. A specialized company is built for claims involving liability from, say, hunting stands, or an injury resulting from UTV or ATV use on the property, even if the injured person isn't the owner.
Mm-hmm.
They're also much better at handling claims related to things like abandoned farm equipment, old irrigation ditches, or unmarked pre-existing hazards, things that are just super common on inherited rural land.
So the specialized providers, like the ones trusted by landowners and hunters, they aren't just selling insurance. They're selling a tailored risk mitigation strategy.
That's the perfect way to put it.
They're trusted precisely because they know the nuances of what happens deep in the woods, not just what happens on your front porch.
That's the key distinction. If you want true peace of mind and, you know, comprehensive coverage for these active or inherited tracts, you need someone who speaks the language of rural land ownership.
So for you listening, we've got two clear paths. Option one, test the waters with your existing homeowner's policy if your land is adjacent or very close.
Mm-hmm.
Option two, which seems highly recommended for any remote or actively used land, is to go through a specialized outside company that really understands the specific liability of recreational or unimproved tracts. All right, now we get to the numbers. And this is where the decision truly becomes a no-brainer. After all this talk about structures and specialty agents, you might think VLI is a huge expense.
Right, you'd expect it to be.
So how expensive is this essential coverage?
Compared to virtually every other type of property insurance, home, auto, umbrella, a vacant land policy is genuinely not expensive at all.
Mm-mm.
This is the moment where the risk calculation really clicks into place for the listener.
Let's get into that financial jargon we promised to clarify. The source material gives us policy limits that sound huge, but we need to break them down. We're talking about policies with limits of, say, $1 million per occurrence and $2 million aggregate.
Serious protection.
It is. But what does that jargon mean in practical terms?
Okay, so these are standard liability limits in commercial insurance, and they're important. When we say $1 million per occurrence, that means the insurance company will pay up to $1 million for damages from a single incident or lawsuit.
So if a trespasser falls and sues you,
the insurer handles up to $1 million of that one claim.
And the $2 million aggregate.
The aggregate limit is the total cap the insurance company will pay out over the entire policy year. Think of it like an annual budget for your policy.
Okay, so if you had a really bad year.
Right. If you have two separate major claims in one year, say one bodily injury lawsuit for $900,000 and one property damage claim for $500,000, that totals $1.4 million. You're still safe. But if you hit $2 million in total payouts across multiple claims, the policy maxes out for that year.
So we're talking about comprehensive, high-level protection. What is the actual annual cost for this kind of shield?
The source material indicates that these rates start, and this is the key, as low as $225 annually.
Wow.
That figure will, of course, go up based on the amount of acreage and the risk profile of the land, but that starting point is just remarkable.
$225 a year for up to $2 million of protection against unexpected liability. I mean, that is pennies a day to protect yourself from a potential catastrophe.
And it leads directly to that so what moment. You have to connect that affordability to the potential risk. We often think lawsuits are rare, but when they hit, they are financially devastating.
And we have some hard data on that from the Insurance Information Institute.
We do. Critical data.
Yes. Looking at the data from 2014 to 2018, the average claim for bodily injury and property damage settlement was over $26,870.
Just do the math on that. You are paying a minimum of $225 annually to protect yourself against an average payout that is over 100 times the annual premium cost.
It's an asymmetric risk profile,
mm-hmm.
Completely in your favor.
Completely. The cost of prevention is trivial compared to the cost of the disaster.
That vast difference between the annual premium and the average claim, it just makes this coverage feel truly essential, doesn't it? It stops being an option and becomes a fundamental cost of land ownership.
Absolutely. But we have to reiterate the core requirement for getting those cheapest VLI rates.
Right.
The land has to be truly vacant. That means no active lease agreements generating income and, crucially, no development or construction activities currently underway. The moment you start putting in a foundation, the liability profile changes completely, and you need builder's risk insurance, not VLI.
It all comes back to that initial pristine state of the unimproved tract.
So to summarize for you listening, if your vacant land is directly adjacent to your primary residence, your homeowner's insurance might cover it with an extension.
A big might.
A very big might. However, given the specific, often hidden liability risks associated with recreation, abandoned structures, and trespassers, if you are looking for high-quality targeted coverage, working with a company that specializes in VLI is unequivocally the best strategy.
And the final warning from our sources should really resonate. Accidents on vacant land may seem unlikely, but they can spiral very, very quickly into something serious.
At the drop of a hat.
The time to get coverage is not after the accident happens. It is before you even step foot on your new property.
Knowledge is your shield here.
So we've spent this deep dive detailing what defines vacant land by what it doesn't have. No construction, no leases, and crucially, these sensitive limits on structures. Here's the provocative thought to leave you with, one that builds on how incredibly sensitive these policies are to physical changes.
I'm curious where you're going with this.
Well, the decision for the landowner isn't just about protecting the land today, but understanding the ongoing maintenance of that policy. If even incidental improvements, like setting up a substantial boundary marker, installing a serious gate, or even just constructing a basic non-residential fence, can potentially jeopardize your essential liability coverage, which we know can start as low as $225.
Right.
How diligently must a landowner monitor their land to ensure that a simple, small improvement doesn't inadvertently void a $1 million policy? That vigilance is the true ongoing cost of VLI. It requires you to actively keep your land unimproved or seek out the specialized coverage that allows for it.
Something to mull over as you enjoy the peace and quiet of your new, unimproved piece of America.
Thanks for diving deep with us. We'll catch you next time.